than 2 days. He was leaving back for Rome at 11:40 Saturday morning. And he's coming here precisely to be of Otios for the direction of what needs to be done. So how many after, do we know how many could come and where they would be there?
The three of us are going Friday. Yeah. How many would be there on Friday? Mm-hmm. If I can get around
it. Mm-hmm. Well, if you
can drive up and then. Well, then
okay. And then, now he'll be in the States all day Friday. There's Mass at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, which is 5 o'clock our time, 4 o'clock. On the Sanchez at the Principal Sullivan and the Homilist, that he's giving the opening talk in the evening of Friday. So, in other words, as many as would be there, since he would be the principal, for him want to see, although he also want to meet with the Pronuncio and Bishop Timlin, who, as you know, is the one agreed to be the Episcopal sponsor for the Eucharistic Crusade. So, now, Margaret, would you would be in charge of knowing who's coming and how many and what time and so on?
We send a sign-up sheet around, Father, and otherwise we'll just welcome whoever comes.
Okay. Now, what I will do, I haven't done this yet, but once I know how many are due to provide for...
Chicago.
Please?
Chicago. You're talking about Chicago now. Let's pass the sheet around again. Another one around for Chicago.
Father, you had said previously that those in this group were not to pay any fee for that.
Now this is...
We need to know what that...
Well, I would say this is my understanding, obviously. It's my own thought. So what I will do is... Once I know how many, I will then duly inform the people who are running the Congress and inform them that so many people will come, and then what I'll do is shop around for a lodging for those who will come and stay overnight, either Thursday night or and Friday night. We walk would come even for 2 nights or 3 nights if you wish. But once I know how many will come, and your names, of course, then we'll get in touch with the people that I know in Chicago and then get lodging for your people. I heard today Father Donnie call me up. He said they've never had such a turnout. They're already, all the space in Mount Lyon Seminary, every room has already been booked. So I told him he's going to turn some away. I said, no, turn nobody away. In any case, it's all on the catechism, you know, the meeting in Chicago. So, now today is Wednesday. The sooner you can let me know, the better. Or maybe, Marco, could you take care of that? See? And find out definitely how many, who, and for how long. And what I will do, as I say, is get in touch with the people who are running the Congress in Chicago by not charging any fee for participation. And on my own, I would then also contact people that I know in Chicago for getting a lodging. In other words, I don't want any money to be paid by you people for your participation in the Congress. And I should say, by the way, I may have mentioned this on some other occasion, but among the organizations of the Holy See said he wanted started, I would say the Institute on Religious Life, which is meeting, its annual meeting, next week, in a way has been the most successful, because we have saved about 150 women's communities from dissolution. So, in other words, this is an organization that has been started, is in operation for almost 20 years. And the focus, as I mentioned earlier, is on the catechism. And then, Margaret, could you get the names of people and then I would then at least say by Monday, maybe even the weekend. But the sooner you get those names in, then I can make contact with Chicago and tell them what we need. Now, the three persons I'd like to have you meet would be then Cardinal Sanchez, Bishop Timlin, and the Ponuncio, who, by the way, as you know, he's getting the annual award. Cacciavilla and the Archbishop. And I would let you know definitely. I would find out exactly where then you would be staying. The sooner I know, the better, because then I can be in contact with the people in Chicago and I get a feedback from them. You know, what lodging they can provide, where, and when. Bill?
Father, do you know specifically when we'll be meeting with Cardinal Sanchez and Bishop Timlin and the Prudencio? Is that going to be all at one time, or is it going to be spread out through?
No, it would be separate. Now, the Archbishop, or better, the Cardinal, coming in on Thursday afternoon. His usual procedure is, he has to come in one day before he speaks. And then, in this case, he's got to get back, he said, he's got to be in the office by Monday morning. So that's why he's just putting in less than 40 hours in the States. But until he comes, I will meet him at the airport. Wednesday, I have a meeting with my Jesuit provincial. That's the best I'm doing for the Jesuits. That's Wednesday. I would have come back to Detroit Wednesday evening. However, since the Cardinal's coming in on Thursday, and I want to meet him at the airport when he comes in from Rome, so I'll be with the Cardinal then from, say, the afternoon of Thursday through Friday through Saturday morning. He's leaving 11:40 from O'Hare Saturday morning back to Rome. So the meetings would be then with the Cardinal on Friday. Now, the more we can plan through beforehand, the better, because, quite frankly, the great value of working with people from the Vatican, the great advantage is that you have the kind of backing which otherwise we wouldn't have. The very Institute of Religious Life was started by the Holy See, and the bishops then had been informed about the meetings, but the Institute is not under Episcopal jurisdiction, so that the whole purpose of our, say, as many as we can coming to Chicago, I mean, not so much to, you might say, get new input, as rather to get backing for what we already are doing from the Holy See, and especially be informed as what Rome would want. In other words, the immediate reason that Cardinal Sanchez is coming, of course, is for the issue of religious life. But he's coming because of the work that, among others, I've been doing for 23 years. And know what I thought? Because this will be our last meeting, won't it, before the meeting in Chicago. Let me tell you, Margaret, is that all right? Or should I let you talk more about the agenda? Or would you want to see more about the agenda? In other words, a meeting with Cardinal Sanchez is to assure him that we do have the dedicated personnel which the Holy See needs for doing his work. Now, by talking to, this is good to hear, there are two people in Rome that are working for us or with us. They are a man by the name of Joseph Johnson, an American from Texas. Do you know him, Father?
I don't.
Please?
No, I don't know.
I think he's from Dallas.
Really?
In any case, Joseph Johnson is an American who did his philosophy in Rome, speaks fluent Italian, and will be ordained in Rome and remain in Rome after ordination. Incarnated one of the dioceses, I think, is Albano, which is the neighboring diocese to Rome. And Now, Joseph is one. The other one is Father Peter Fremont Smith. Fremont Smith is a double title. Fremont Smith. Now he's a priest, and he's organizing a seminary, and of course a place for living for the Society of Our Lady of the Holy Trinity, whose founder, I think I mentioned, Father Flanagan, here in Corpus Christi, Texas. Now, Joseph Johnson called me up today from Rome. We spent about a half an hour on the telephone. Here's what he told me, which I think we should all know. First of all, that the American translation of the Catechism is due, as I think you already know, on the 22nd of June. The British translation, however, coming out a month earlier, on May the 22nd. And the two translations, I'm told, are not identical. For difference, I haven't yet seen either in its final stage. However, Johnson told me that the official Latin of the Catechism will be out by Lent of 95. And that then will be the official text of the Catechism. Moreover, that although there are many who are pleading with the Pope, with the Holy Father, to hold back, since it's already almost 2 years lost anyhow on the English translation, why not wait until the Latin comes out? They have the English translation based on the Latin. And the Pope said, no, we waited long enough. So the English translation will come out, as I just said, both in May and in June. However, there will be another translation into the vernacular, including, of course, English, based on the official Latin, which is due in the, say, late winter of 95. That is, about February or March of 95. Now, this is good to hear because, as you realize, none of this was expected by the Holy Father. He expected the translation, which was first done in English, to be sound, but it turned out to be otherwise. In any case, then I asked Johnson, because he's in contact with the people in Rome, and they told him that then translations based on the official Latin, they will be the definitive translations. The present one will not be definitive. The contents will not substantially change, but once it's in Latin, and that becomes official, well, you do not, you might say, toy around with the Latin language. Latin has one meaning, and that's it. So I asked Johnson, I said, now, who's going to put out the translation based on the official Latin? Well, he understood that the bishops would do that, Conference of Bishops. So I told him what is common knowledge. In many ways, the bishops are the source of the problem we're having with the catechism to begin with. So I also asked Johnson to get in touch with somebody at the Vatican, find out whether we could not get a license from the Vatican Press so that Intermorifica would be also an authorized publisher of the eventually official text of the Catechism, whose Latin base would be published in early 95. Now, the way I talked last week, and my conscience bothered me, that I was probably a little too severe. All I can tell you is there's just so much to be done. And since Holy See has told me to get people, dedicated people, to work with Rome, obviously my conscience bothers me if I don't find the people that Rome needs. Now, the kind of work that needs to be done, the specific form of that work, will be spelled out by the Holy See. There may be, I don't know, there may be, for example, the need for promoting even the catechism itself. For one thing, I do know that most of the languages of the world will not have a text in their own language of the catechism. Because Rome, there's no way the Vatican could afford that. They don't have that kind of money. And what I was hoping that maybe when we meet after Easter. Now, I'm in Chicago to the end of Easter week. I come back for one day to Detroit. Now, Carol West, am I having an appointment? Remember, I think I asked you about Monday morning?
It's coming Monday.
Okay, Monday morning, the 11th. Then I leave Monday afternoon for Dallas to give a retreat to the Carmelite nuns, cloistered nuns in Dallas. And that will be then from the 11th of April to the end of the week. So that our next meeting then would not be until, now what would it be, the third Wednesday after Easter. And depending again on Cardinal Sanchez, and I can tell you, we are the main reason for his coming to the States. The Holy See, as I've said so many times, just does not have the resources. Does not have them. And yet the work must go on. I may have mentioned this to you. A bishop who I know well, who is now has a diocese in Africa. I am informed he does not even have a telephone in his office. And this is where things that need to be done. For example, it might be, I may talk to Mr. Monahan and have maybe attend one of our meetings. Once we have things clear just exactly what the Holy See needs, and then what should be done. Because there are so many Catholics. Of the 200 plus million people in the United States, is a 55 or so million professed Catholics. But except for hearing about these things, maybe saying a few prayers, there are not many Catholics that are involved. So, and there's just a lot to be done. So that, now, to be more specific, I cannot be more specific at this stage because I don't have any more directives from the, especially the Congregation for the Clergy, the other divisions of the Vatican that are involved. So, there's work to be done, I assure you. Shall we continue with? No. Did you pass around a... Did everybody get a copy? Come in. Have a seat. Oh, gosh. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Here's it. Let's see, that's the seat there. Would you mind introducing yourselves?
Don Ziegler from Brighton, Michigan. My wife, Dolores.
And?
Their son, John Ziegler, I'm a seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, studying for Detroit.
And, now John, you are now, have you ever been incarnated in the Detroit Archdiocese?
Well, I wouldn't be incarnated, Father, until December of 95, but I'm a third year theology student at Mount St. Mary's, and I'm studying for Detroit.
So he's, and your profession before you decided on the seminary was what?
I was an assistant district attorney in Dallas, Texas.
See that. Anyway, there's work to be done, right, John?
Sure.
So, then we might maybe ask Mr. Monahan, once we know what Rome wants, and people are willing to pitch in, and then they have another meeting, because they will need financial resources, you see? Things that have to be done. Okay. Now, would you mind? Has everybody got a copy of this? Make it into the catechism meeting?
March 23rd.
Now, have any of you heard any more about Dave Armstrong? Anybody in touch with Dave? Because then, remember, Dave did come to that one meeting where I broached the idea of having a Cathy Writers Guild.
I'd be glad to call him, Father.
Please?
I'll call him.
I'll tell you what, would you do this? And be very open with him. In other words, the only reason that I suggested Dave when he was here was because he does like to write. And he's published a number of articles in Cathy magazines recently. However, hey, Margaret, I would say, find out from Dave whether it was just kind of a courtesy on his part, whether he really meant to somehow chaperone his Writers Guild. Would you? Because then, otherwise, just find somebody else. Okay. Then let's go over these minutes from last week. Number one, list for Adam Rivica. Now, I got a copy of it, but I thought to myself, let's wait until Cardinal Sanchez comes and get more feedback from him. And he wants to be done for Adam Rivica. As you know, we are legally established in the Archdiocese of Washington. We have tax exemption as a Catholic organization. And the office, however, officially is in Washington, D.C. But the work is being done in Kensington, Maryland. You might keep this number in mind in case of necessity. It's area 301-949-4840. 301-949-4840. I think I should share this with you. My last conversation with John and Dolores O'Connell. She didn't have to tell me, but she thought I should hear it. Remember, I told you that she gave up her position at the University of Maryland, teaching in the School of Nursing Education. Well, she told me, Father, I left a $42,000 job to serve the church. And this is, I think it's worth hearing this. And just repeating words doesn't matter. We all know to some degree that the church is in a crisis. We all sense that. No, that's including myself. Fully realize how deep that crisis is. It is very deep. It involves many members of the hierarchy. And consequently, and I'm just repeating myself, but I want to make it as clear as I can. We're not here because of any ideas that I've got. It's the Holy See, and even more specifically, the Holy Father. We need totally, completely, utterly dedicated people. We need priests, we need religious, and then for the two associations, men and Asian catechists, lay people. Now, the dedication need not mean, and for most, say, most of you people, it could not mean that you would put in, say, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, obviously. However, as much as time would allow, that you would be then willing to cooperate on enterprises, which many of which are already undertaken. But with the catechism coming out, it's just a flood of responsibilities. Because, and this is no secret to any of us by now, the Bishops' Conference, as you know, has a large catechetical division. But all that I read, all that I hear, all that I know tells me that one agency of the United States which should be promoting the catechism is not doing it. And consequently, this is an important adverb, consequently, if our country is going to be blessed by the catechism, somebody had better promote not just the sale so that people buy copies, but it would be understood and put to use. So then the Catholic Writers Guild, Chaperon, not present. As I told you, briefly before, this, for me, will be of the essence of belonging to either the Marian or the Ignatian catechists. Some ability to write. Now the writing can be, for example, correspondence. The writing can be for script for programs on radio or television. The writing would be also for, for publication, either as articles or as books. Correspondence with publishers. Today a man came to see me who is a Lewis,
yes.
You know him better. Could you briefly describe?
Michael is a computer programmer.
Michael Jones.
Michael Jones.
It's not E. Michael Jones. Yes, Michael Jones.
Yes. He's been a computer programmer for 25 years, and he has extensive program and knowledge, extensive experience and knowledge in the computer field, and he would like to start a company which would put the entire catechism of the Catholic Church on computer diskettes and distribute that to promote and use the catechism as well.
So he left. The three of you signed that letter, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And what I did immediately, I faxed a copy of that letter to, first of all, to the O'Connells in Washington, and also to Jeff Mirrus, who has a computer corporation already in operation. So, but in other words, when I mentioned the last time we met, first of all, let's pray the Lord will enlighten all of us. I will keep you people informed of what Rome wants to have done. And then that you can, be tapped for such service as will be needed. Now regarding the Writers Guild, there, if you talk to Dave Armstrong, will you, Margaret? You talk to him, find out. And that make it as clear as you can to him, understand? This is not just a gesture that I made. And this is really what is really in the back of my mind. The Marian Ignatian Catechism was started because of the catechism was due. It's now almost 8 years ago. Now that's why we're in existence. But the reason, the basic reason, is because the catechism, planned by the Holy See, is to preserve the faith where it can still be preserved, find out where the people are who either still believe or those who don't have the faith want to believe. So the Writers Guild then is, and will be, please God, an expected means of promoting the faith. Lewis, did you have your hand up?
Yes, Father. This is a comment regards, if I make a suggestion regards the Writers Guild. If I make a suggestion regards the Writers Guild.
Yes.
I think instead of having a chaperone, maybe I think knowing the group as I go and being here from the beginning, perhaps some of us would step forward and say, Father, my writing, I'm best in writing in defense of the faith, or I'm best in proofreading, or I'm best in the talent of writing for TV scripts. I think we should step forward and be assigned accordingly to what our strengths are in regards to writing.
Okay. This, in other words, in greater or less measure, everyone must do some writing. Yeah, but that, now the amount, the nature of it, and so on, that I would say three weeks from now, which is, today is the 30th, right? 30th of March. Okay? Now, the Eucharistic Crusade. And out there, as I think we've been told, this is a directive that I received from my general, and regarding the Eucharistic Crusade, the launching will be planned as of now for October in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And so, date of our meeting with Bishop Timlin in Chicago to be revealed, with the possibility of a Congress will also be discussed. Richard Mitkowski to copy old norms and handbooks. Saturday seems to be the best day for the catechist attending from Detroit. Now that raises, as you see, a problem because of Cardinal Sanchez. They'll be leaving, has to be leaving, by noon of Saturday. And the reason is he loses time going to Rome. They must be in the office first thing Monday morning. So, as far as the possibility of a Congress here in Detroit, is not on my mind. There will be, however, a new Sacred Heart Congress, I think I told you, in Detroit. Remember the time?
September 10th. September 10th.
September, that's the plan. Yes. And, however, I don't think it's on a major scale. However, any help that we can give the people, fine. Now, Bishop Tillman may decide on this, since he volunteered to be in contact with the bishops. He may then, that's up to him, contact, say, the bishop or bishops in Detroit. And then, it would not be just a local affair being sponsored by the Archdiocese of Detroit, but by an association, which is the Eucharistic Crusade, that is not directly under any single bishop. Then the CS to Jesus rally. Now, Daniel, could you turn off the machine, please? So is Bill, how's your son doing?
Very good, Father. And he starts chemo again a week from Monday. It's a Monday. A week after Easter. Continue to please pray for him, but he's doing very well right now. We also have just a proposal of a follow-up to the Say Yes to Jesus. John Kemp put this together, and I have a few extra copies here for...
Well, this is very good. In fact, see, this is what I found, a kind of a built-in problem. It's especially the laity who are being hit day after day, Sunday after Sunday, seeing and hearing things that are just unbelievable. Well, the laity realizes, and those especially with families, that something has to be done. And as a consequence, dedicated, devoted laity, like Bill Butler, become involved and just, almost you might say, stop thinking. They're just so concerned that what we need to do, and I told the O'Connells that I would share this with you, sometime maybe, even before the summer, maybe we'll have a meeting, a national meeting of those involved in catechetics on a national scale somehow, who are thoroughly Orthodox, have a meeting, say, here in Detroit. I've had two such meetings over the years on the Catholic media, because one of the hardest things for the church also is that good people are not working together. They're in competition. And even the financial resources. People will contribute to one organization, say, if only that organization had worked with others, that same amount of money could do maybe 3 or 5 times as much good. In any case, This is Bill, your proposal, right?
This is a recommendation put together by John Kemp for some possible changes in our approach.
Do you have a copy then, John?
Yeah.
Would you mind reading it out loud?
The books displayed at the last conference gave us a chance for personal interaction with the participants of the conference, and it was not accurate enough in its purpose or in those who responded. If we could present at the end of the conference the offer of a program such as the Eucharistic Crusade or a catechetic program or some good reference sources in a comprehensive way, those who responded could be more effectively ministered to. In a presentation, the virtues of each program could demonstrate the faith connection with the Church, the power of prayer, the special graces from intimately knowing Jesus, Mary, and the saints, the peace received from perseverance and fidelity, the need to seek God's will in our own life. If presented in a way to show the connection between the individual and the Church, it could motivate the kids and adults to overcome the indifference. The names then received would be people actually interested rather than enrolled, and we could focus our efforts on what they then expect and we offer. The Eucharistic Crusade handbook is available, and the catechist courses are laid out.
We're having both the manual and the norms duplicated, right? We're having copies made for the Eucharistic Crusade. So, in fact, you see right here, and those of you that were with Bill Butler in Kalamazoo, in fact, it would be tragic if what has been started and has such potential for the future would die out. So, well, thanks, John. And by the way, as I've said more than once now, any ideas you have of what either we can do or other people that we can contact for doing, please put your ideas on paper and share them with us at the next meeting, okay? Then, talks at Our Lady of Victory in Mount Carmel. Now, Lewis, would you mind? Would you mind making some comments on that?
Yes. Just in general, the context of what we're doing as a catechist, I'm the director of religious education at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So we've been teaching a new catechism since September of this year. We've combined Father Hardin's catechism with the new catechism, wanted to have a Spanish copy. And really, this is the heart and soul of our apostolate. We can do many things to Father, but if we don't understand our faith, then we have nothing that we can communicate. We won't be nearly as effective in our apostolate. So what we're trying to do is create, with a foothold in the Archdiocese of Detroit, the Evangelization Center. This is my hopes and aspirations. And my pastor is very cooperative with this, and would be very welcome all the catechists to come and get the necessary foundational training that we're doing at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And perhaps they expand this and coordinate this with other efforts. I understand there's one in Dallas. I've been down amongst other places, coordinate other catechetical centers and begin to get a good pedagogical teaching method established for training catechists and training teachers, because that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be teachers of catechism. Train catechists who would in turn train leaders of organizations and more effectively promulgate and spread the catechism in this way. And of course, we asked Father to come and talk at our parish as a part of this, to inspire them and to follow through. And as you know, Father, just this morning, we are following through on what you've done.
Yeah, thank you. Witkowski is not here, is he?
No,
is Richard here?
Father, he had an appointment in Toledo, medical appointment, and he was going to try to make it tonight. But
okay. Because, in other words, and this is an important distinction, that as Ignatian Marian catechists, of course, work will be done and should be done locally too. However, the focus or the scope A Bodhi American Mission catechist is not local. In other words, whatever training, experience, and so on can be got, or you get it where you can get it. But we are thinking, this is both the mind of St. Ignatius, in the training that we got, and the mind of the Holy See, to reach out to the masses, whether nationally or even internationally. In Russian translations, again, now Richard, he would do that, won't he, to carry on, find out what the needs are, say, in for a Russian translation.
I haven't had a chance to talk to Richard about that project, Father.
Yes. Now, could you talk to him before?
Yes.
Please tell him. Okay. Then the Blue Army, I haven't heard yet who will be appointed, but Father Paul Driscoll, say a prayer that it is God's will that Father Driscoll does get the job, because he and I have been close for years since I taught him in New York, and thoroughly Orthodox, writes well, and is courageous. Okay. Number 9 we've talked about. Evangelization. Now, I gave Marion a copy, Bill. I gave Marion a copy of what is Marcia Knight. Some of you have met her. Remember the retreat we had last fall? And so maybe she can come to one of our meetings. Maybe have Marion call her up and ask if she could not come to our next meeting here.
Okay.
And Louise, to continue, please.
Father, I talked to Marcia Knight briefly last week on the phone when you had mentioned that maybe we should talk to her and find out kind of where she stands.
Yeah.
And she's definitely Orthodox.
She's Orthodox,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a little afraid to.
That's good.
To come out with.
Yeah, because we.
She's definitely Orthodox. We talked about the rosary. And also, Father, I don't know in what section you want to keep this, but you said to start using our initiative and do what we thought we needed to do to promote the catechism. So I compiled what I think is a survey. I've got sheets for everybody if we want to kind of go over it, which kind of opens it up to the priests and to the RICAs to kind of to stimulate them about possibly using the catechism. If you want to look at this, I've got a cover sheet, and I spent the week on this, so I don't know if you want to.
Well, I would say for the time being, it's thanks for what you told me about Marcia, and then maybe Marcia can talk things over with once she's gone through the manuscript, but it'll also illustrate a principle here. In other words, people who are really zealous to preserve the faith or promote the faith. But unless these people somehow are part of a larger, structured organization, something may be done, but any kind of permanence is not ensured. So that that's why Marcia, from what I know of her, is a very zealous person. And of course, she has to make a living and so on. And in other words, she wants to become involved in the church in such a way that her talent can be put to good use without having to invest the kind of money that she doesn't have.
Father, in keeping with number 10 from last week, in our discussion last week, you said to input needed of news information, hard data not commonly available. And you said to come on just to start working, do whatever we thought was necessary. Well, I worked on what is like a survey.
Okay.
And I have copies of that. It's like 3 pages. They're short questions to question the people in the parishes, the priests, and the RICA directors. I've compiled that, and I have a copy for everybody if you kind of want to go over.
Now, how many copies do you have?
I have copies for everybody.
Why don't you distribute them?
Okay. I don't know if this is what you want, but you said...
You busy, so I did.
There's a cover sheet to you. It comes to the call with it, and that's why I think so. Oops, excuse me.
And while you're distributing these, let's go on then. And then, at Louise, you're in.
Okay.
Thank you. And then number 12, Catholic Catechism's newsletter or even magazine. In my last conversation with Elizabeth Redden Johnson, that Rome is expecting something rather longer than shorter, and see around 40 pages. Now, Dan Giroux is coming to Detroit this weekend.